You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In 1970, the U.S. Army had 13 teletype machines in use for one purpose. These machines were reporting on every demonstration around the United States of 20 people or more. The reports were coming from 1,500 Army plainclothes agents working out of 300 offices. They even had mug books of people who could be rounded up in case of a civil disturbance. This, in spite of the fact that the U.S. Army was prohibited from engaging in this kind of intelligence gathering within U.S. borders. The uproar over these revelations led to congressional hearings and stricter oversights. 40 years on, and that vigilance seems to have eroded. Newly declassified documents reveal that the U.S. military has been infiltrating and spying on peace groups within U.S. borders. One of those groups is the Students for a Democratic Society and Port Militarization Resistance in Washington State. Brendan Maslauskas Dunn is a member of that organization, and he joins me by phone. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, what kind of activities does your group carry out?
Well, Port Militarization Resistance, or PMR as we often call it, was established back in 2006, I believe, when people got together in the Port of Olympia and attempted to block military shipments that were en route to Iraq. So since that has happened, there have been several attempts to block shipments of Stryker vehicles, they're called mostly, and other weapons and military vehicles en route to Iraq or Afghanistan, and also coming back from those two countries. And we were successful at one point back in 2007. We actually shut down the Port of Olympia twice for extended periods of time, and they haven't sent any more shipments through that port.
And how did you discover that the U.S. Army was spying on you?
Well, several months ago, actually, I think it was in April, I did some simple public records requests through the City of Olympia. And I did these requests on anything and everything they had on anarchists or anarchy or Students for a Democratic Society or the Industrial Workers of the World, which is a union I'm a member of. And they gave back to me hundreds of documents, different attachments and documents and emails. There was one email in particular, I didn't really think too much of it, that was buried below the rest of the documents that I got. And this email had a name attached to it. That name was John J. Towery II, who was working for Force Protection for Fort Lewis. And he had sent this document, it was mostly redacted information, to another individual from Fort Lewis. I didn't think too much of it. Some other people were curious to find out who this person was and did some research for the past month, actually, and found out just through easily accessible public information like voter registration records and some other things that John J. Towery lived at the same address, the same house that my friend and fellow activist who was active in Port Militarization Resistance, John Jacob. Not only did they live at the same place, they were the same exact person.
So John Towery was the name of the man who infiltrated your group as John Jacob?
Yes, I knew him as John Jacob for the last 2 years, and we were friends. You know, he was active in Port Militarization Resistance. He was very close with people in Iraq Veterans Against the War and Students for a Democratic Society, and spent quite a lot of time with activists and anarchists, mostly in Tacoma, but also Olympia.
And what was your relationship with Towery?
Well, you know, we were friends. We were both active in Port Militarization Resistance together. He had come to a number of police brutality events and actions in Olympia. We both put on a workshop together at an anarchist book fair in Tacoma about community organizing, grassroots neighborhood organizing. I still have birthday presents he gave to me. He gave me two books. They're still sitting on my bookshelf. So we were close.
And when you discovered that John Jacob was in fact John Towery, did you confront him with this information?
Yeah, I did. I knew he wouldn't call I knew he wouldn't call me, so I gave him a call the day after this information was publicized, and I believe that was Thursday the 23rd. That's when I called him, and I said, you know, John, what's the deal? What is this true? And what he told me is, well, yes, it is true, but there's a lot more to it than what's been publicized. I want to speak to you in person. So I met with him in person that day, along with another anarchist who he also trusted and considered his friend, and he admitted to a number of things. He told us a whole bunch of interesting stuff.
And can you get into this some detail about what he revealed?
Yeah, well, you know, he admitted that, yes, he is John Towery. He admitted that he had infiltrated us. He had a story which I didn't believe, I still don't believe, mainly because of the public records we have in our hands that say otherwise. But he said he tried to convince us that the Tacoma police forced him to spy on us, that he only reported to Tacoma police and Pierce County sheriffs, that he didn't report too much information, that he acted as a double agent. You know, we know none of that is true based on the records we have, which attach his name to an Army email that he's sending to other personnel in intelligence in the Army and in other agencies and organizations. And he also admitted that he was reporting to an intelligence network that included several police agencies ranging from local to county to state to regional, and several federal agencies, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency, the Army, Fort Lewis, etc. So he admitted to that as well. And two other things he admitted to. He told us that he knew of a surveillance camera that, I mean, we actually knew about it last year. It was, someone took it down in the middle of the night and destroyed it, but the police mounted a surveillance camera on a utility pole across the street from a community center in Tacoma that anarchists ran called Pitchpipe Info Shop. And they placed it there to do surveillance work on anyone going into that building. And the other thing he told me was that the police in Olympia and Tacoma had been planning on a long time in raiding the Pitchpipe Info Shop and also the house I lived in Olympia with other activists. And they approached John several times asking him if he had any information on whether or not we had anything like bombs or explosives or weapons or drugs or anything like that, which is, you know, just a way to, you know, they wanted an excuse to raid our houses. They wouldn't have found that. It's just another thing the police and the media would use to smear us for the political work we're doing in our communities.
Now, I understand that John Jacob, or as he's now known, John Towery, his real name, John Towery, he was an administrator with your group. Is that right?
Yeah, well, he was an administrator on the listserv, which is our means of email communication. He, along with four other people.
And what kind of information did he then have access to?
Well, with that, he would have, you know, a list of all the emails of people who are on the listserv. He and most of the names. Not everyone had their name attached to their email, and he also had the power and ability to take people on and off the list. So.
And now your Freedom of Information Inquiry brought to light these disclosures about the military spying on your group. Did it reveal any other activities that the Army has undertaken against other groups?
Well, I just want to be clear. This is actually, I know a lot of people have been saying it's a FOIA request, Freedom of Information. It's actually just a public records request, which is not a federal inquiry into any kind of federal information, but just local. It's really easy, which makes it more interesting because we were able to get all this stuff just through a simple local request. But there was other information that came out. There was information about the Air Force. Some Air Force officer, out of McGuire Air Force Base across the country in New Jersey, who was inquiring into activities of port militarization resistance and Students for a Democratic Society and other anti-war left-wing organizations, and was doing intelligence work in Olympia. There was also information pointing to there some police officers in Olympia talking about their army guy who was working for them, that would be John Towery, and then their Coast Guard person who perhaps is still infiltrating us. We don't know who that is. There was also an email from someone from the U.S. Capitol Police, which is located in Washington, D.C., and they were doing surveillance, too, on activists in Olympia. So the information that came out was mostly related to surveillance on port militarization resistance, on Students for a Democratic Society, and also on anarchists in Tacoma and Olympia.
Now, I understand that the lawyer representing the SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society, and the port militarization resistance, Larry Hildes, I understand he has made attempts to get information from the military and from federal agencies for court cases. How forthcoming have they been?
They've not been forthcoming at all. That's an issue that he has had repeatedly. There is a lawyer based out of Seattle working on behalf of the government. His last name is Kipnis. Can't remember his first name. But Kipnis has repeatedly blocked information that should be going to Larry Hildes and other defense attorneys from different federal agencies and also from the Army and from Fort Lewis. Larry Hildes now knows why. Kipnis and his firm have not been forthcoming in sending this information. And it would be interesting to note that Kipnis is the same attorney that prosecuted Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who, if you recall, came out a couple years ago and refusing to go fight in a war he saw illegal and immoral in Iraq. So he refused to fight. And he is the same attorney that was involved with a number of torture cases and other cases at Guantanamo Bay with detainees there.
And where does your organization go from here, Brendan?
Well, we have to make sure that all of this information that has surfaced about the spy amongst us doesn't make us paranoid, that it doesn't weaken us. It definitely is a chilling aspect on a lot of people. But there's port militarization resistance meeting this weekend. SDS is still active. I think if anything, it's just going to make us more determined in our struggle, and also knowing that we do have some laws that we could use as leverage points and some laws that kind of protect us. I mean, the military isn't supposed to be spying on civilians in the U.S. There's an act back in the 1880s called Posse Comitatus that forbids the military from any kind of arresting powers or surveillance activities on people in this country. And there are some things that have happened in the last 20 years that have chipped away at that. Executive Order 12333 and AR 381-10, but I think it's still relevant.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, Brendan.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Brendan Maslauskas-Dunn. He is a member of Students for a Democratic Society and Port Militarization Resistance in Washington State. You can learn more about their struggles by going to johntowery.com.